We're about to take another ride on the Whitehall Roundabout with Norma Ronald, Ronald Baddeley, John Graham, and the men from the Ministry, Richard Murdoch and Derek Giler. Key men in the Ministry setup are the permanent under-secretaries. Sir Gregory Pitkin, for instance, not only shapes broad lines of policy, but also keeps a close eye on offices under his control. He visits them frequently to make sure everything's going smoothly.
Lamb, where's Lennox Bryan? Is he away today?
No, I think he'll be in as usual.
But it's gone 11 o'clock.
Perhaps his train took the wrong turning.
More likely a recurrence of his back trouble.
Oh, does Mr. Lennox Brown have trouble with his back?
Yes, he can't get it off his bed in the mornings. I gather he's always late.
Well, he's always late in the morning, but to make up for it, in the afternoon he goes early.
No wonder I don't see much work from this office.
It's not our fault, sir. Our secretary's off on leave and you haven't supplied a replacement.
Well, I can't lay my hands on a girl just when I feel like it.
It's not what I heard, Sir Gregory.
What?
I mean, I heard you were very good at it. Finding girls who'll do anything. Finding willing women. I mean...
No! Lamb! I've had enough of this dithering. Now, I'm here on behalf of the Civil Service Museum. They asked me to see you and Lennox Bryan.
The Civil Service Museum?
Don't panic. They don't want you as exhibits. Not till they open a chamber of horrors.
Very amusing, Sir Gregory.
Then why aren't you laughing?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Don't bother. The point is, the General Assistance Department has been going for centuries, so there may be items of historical interest around.
When Mildred gets back, she can look in our drawers.
No, you and Lennox Brown start sorting now. Sift all shelves and cupboards. Documents of interest go straight to the museum. Other old stuff you throw away.
But what about our work for the Ministry of Transport?
Well, get on with that as well. It should have been finished last week. And what are these golf clubs doing?
Morning, too. Thought I'd get in early today. I hear you know who's on the warpath.
One, Sir Gregory.
Yes, that old goat.
Lennox Brown.
Old stone face. Sir Gregory.
Yes, Lennox Brown, Sir Gregory.
Sir Gregory.
Or old stone face.
As
I'm known to people who'll shortly be leaving.
Ignoring
your rudeness and the fact that you're 2 hours late. Why are these golf clubs in your office?
Part of our work for the Ministry of Transport.
Yes.
What have golf clubs to do with the Ministry of Transport?
They're worried about wooden-headed drivers.
Lamb means, sir, that we are comparing golf techniques with motoring.
I can't waste any more time here. Those transport jobs should be over and done with. Now get on with that new job at once.
It's going to be one of those days, I can tell.
Sir Gregory won't bother us again till after lunch.
Yes, it's not only him, too. I had a letter on Friday from my sister in America.
In America?
My sister Jane went to America just after the war as a GI bride. Now, I haven't seen her since, but she sends me a photo of her family every year. Now, look, here's the latest one. Have a look at
that. Oh, yes, listen. Well, I say, 12 children?
It's a very remote part of the States. There's not a lot to do.
I like that little one in front with the red hat. He takes after you.
2. That is their garden gnome. The trouble is, they've sent one of the children to London on an educational trip. Little girl, Luella, arriving today, apparently.
Your niece is arriving today. How exciting. Mm. Which one of these is little Luella?
Well, according to the letter, Luella's the one on the end.
Oh,
you
yes.
See, there, that beastly-looking child with a lollipop.
Are you going to meet her at the airport?
Oh, no. My brother's doing that. She'll be staying with him, too, thank heavens. But he's tied up all afternoon, so he's going to dump her on me for 3 hours.
What fun. I love children, you know. I used to take my little nephew to the zoo, but then he had trouble with the keepers.
You mean they wanted to keep him?
He used to feed buns to the elephants, only he could never tell which was the trunk and which was the tail, and all got rather embarrassing. He's a very precocious lad.
Is he?
Yes, he walked into an off-license the other day and asked for cigarettes and beer.
Did he?
The girl said, "Do you want to get me into trouble?" And he said, "No, I just want cigarettes and beer."
That is very interesting, too. But my problem is, how do I cope with this child in the office?
We'll enjoy it, one. We can all play games. Let's go out and buy her some toys.
Oh, all right. I suppose it's better than working. Oh, Two, pull yourself together, will you? You've been cycling around the office on that tricycle for over 10 minutes.
Yes, and isn't it fun?
Yes, well, come off it at once. It's my turn.
Oh, all right. If I can borrow your gun.
Well, the target's pinned on the door. I scored 4 out of 6.
Oh, I can do better than that. Here we go. Ready? Aim.
Now then, you two.
Fire.
I want a word of...
Two, look what you've done.
Where did my sucker stick go?
If you look closely, you can just see the tip protruding from Sir Gregory's mouth. Oh, Sir Gregory, sir. Sir, are you all right, sir?
I'm terribly sorry, Sir Gregory, if I shot you in the mouth. I'm not used to such a big target. I mean, I just meant to shoot a little sucker. That's to say...
Be quiet. Lennox Brown, what the devil is going on in here? Playpen in the middle of the office. Lamb running amok with a toy gun. Is he into his second childhood?
I'll put a stop to this childishness, sir. Just give me time to get off this tricycle.
There's a teddy bear on your desk. Am I going out of my mind? For pity's sake, Lennox Brown, answer my question. What is going on here?
Well, you see, Sir Gregory, I'm expecting a child.
I am going out of my mind, yes. Well, I'll go and have a lie down,
I think we've upset Sir Gregory, Ron.
Yes, well, there's no time to fret about that. Little Luella will be here any minute. Now, let's put the tricycle in the map cupboard, and then we can surprise her with
it. Yes, all right.
See? Oh, dear. Hello, General Assistance Department.
Hall Porter here. Some visitors for you. Blooming nuisance.
That will be my brother and my niece. Bring them up, would you?
Well, I couldn't do that. I'm just washing my socks. I always wash them first Friday in the month.
Matthews, leave your socks and bring my visitors up.
Well, I've sent them up on their own already.
Thank you, Matthews. Oh, the sooner Matthews is computerized, the better.
Luella's here, is she? What fun.
Yes, they're already on their way up. Yes.
Well, we just have time to put on our funny hats. Children love that sort of thing.
Now,
give me
on.
Mine. Yes.
There's a false nose of mine. What is anyway? I say, do you think that's going a bit too far?
No, it's a great improvement. I'll hide under my desk and do my animal impressions when she comes in.
Good idea. Oh, I say, that'll be little Luella now, yes. Come in, my dear.
Pardon me, have I butted in on a happening? I was looking for Mr. Lennox Brown.
Well, I am Lennox Brown, madam.
You're Uncle Derek?
Hmm?
Well, why are you wearing that false nose and funny hat?
Moo, moo. I'm a moo cow.
Say, who is that under the desk? Is he for real?
Just a moment. Did you say Uncle Derek? You mean... You are Luella?
Yeah, that's right.
Now I'm a pussycat. Meow!
Is that an old British custom?
Look, you can't be Luella. I mean, you're...
I'm Clara, the friendly hen.
Oh, that'll do, too. You've just laid an egg. Come on out of there.
What's happening, man? Who's this young lady?
This is my niece, Luella.
Oh, yes.
Luella, this is Mr. Lamb. We thought you were a child. Well, I mean, the picture, you see. I mean, your mother said you were a... Here, look at that there, on the end. You see that?
Oh, no, that end's my kid sister. This is me on this end. Uncle George sends his regards. He saw me up to your office, and then he had to go for an appointment.
Oh, well, welcome to London, my dear.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, I've looked forward so much to seeing Britain. You know, Mar figures from your letters you're just about running this country, Uncle Derek.
Oh, yes. Well, you could say that, yes.
What exactly do you do here?
Yes. Well, now, you see, we are the General Assistance Department. Yes, we tell everyone else what to do. Oh, my word, yes, the Prime Minister, the Chancellor...
Sir Gregory Pitkin.
What? Where?
No. I mean, we tell him what to do.
Oh, yes, by Jove, yes, yes. He's one of our juniors, Luella.
What's his father? file on your desk.
That's from the Ministry of Transport. Yeah, we're sorting out some jobs that they couldn't manage, you see.
I have 4 degrees in technology. Perhaps I could help on these transport problems.
You could?
Still, you probably won't want little old me prying into this high-powered work of yours.
Oh, well, now, on the contrary, Luella, I mean, we'd be delighted. We don't need help, of course. Oh, no. But, I mean, it might be useful experience for you. Study the file, my dear. To give Luella a pencil and paper.
There. I think that's tied up everything.
What are your answers? Just as a matter of interest, you know.
Well, one, your recommended route for the safe driving rally is, I'm afraid, unsound. London to Brighton and straight on. 2, on the data here, the new Surrey motorway will take 3 years, 4 months to complete.
Very good, Luella. Yes, my own conclusions, exactly. Yes, there's just one other point on that motorway business, though. Now, as you see, we've ordered a footbridge at Mutton Hill, but local societies are protesting. They say it'll spoil the view.
Well, why cross overhead? Why not tunnel underneath?
Yes. Go underneath. Yes, I had that in mind all along, of course. Yes, let's build a tunnel instead.
But
yes.
This pedestrian bridge design, we've paid a lot of money for it.
Well, just turn the plan upside down and say it's a pedestrian subway. Well, I'm glad you've had a chance to see how the ministry works. Dare say you've learned something?
I sure have.
Yes, yes.
And now I must leave you, Uncle Derek, and look round swinging London. What's on these days?
Well, my landlady, Mrs. Bratby, is holding a whist drive in her front room this evening. Would you like to come along? The only trouble is it goes on very late, possibly past 9 o'clock.
I was handed 2 tickets for a lecture on blushing. Would you be interested?
Thank you, Uncle Derek. I never blush. Tonight, I'm going to an all-night party in Chelsea. Then I'm flying to Paris for breakfast. But thanks for looking after me. Bye.
I didn't quite gather, is she coming to the whist drive or not?
No.
I hope Sir Gregory is pleased with that transport work we did yesterday.
Well, he won't be satisfied, for we've sorted these papers as well. Now, have you found anything for the museum yet?
No, it's all a load of old rubbish.
What's that you've got at the moment, then? What's it?
General Assistance Department must have been helping the Admiralty.
Huh?
It's a letter from someone called Nelson notifying a change of address. Apparently he's moved in with a Lady Hamilton.
I don't know why they bother to keep these things. Throw it away.
Yes. There's just the old chest and the map cupboard.
Ah, right. Well, let's do the chest first, shall we? By Jove, look at all these cobwebs. By George, this stuff must be very old.
I can't make this document out. It says, a lift of Fundry supplies now on fail in the fops.
Let me see that. Wait a minute.
There you are.
Ah, yes. Well, in these old days, too, you see, they used to write S's like F's. See? Mm,
that could have been very awkward.
Now, this is a list of newly imported goods the department had studied for tax purposes.
What sort of thing?
Well, wait a minute, what's it say here? Potatoes, extremely tough, it says. Thief fruit will never replace the apple.
Well, the museum won't want that.
No, it's...
It isn't even written properly.
Hi there, Uncle Derek, Mr. Lamb.
Oh, Luella, this is a pleasant surprise. We thought you were over in Paris.
Oh, no, only for breakfast. I flew back at 10 o'clock. And I felt I just had to have another look at this crazy ministry.
Oh.
I just fell in love with this place. It's so antique and moldy and decaying.
Thank you very much.
Mind you, there's one guy here got fresh ideas. Coming up in the lift, would you believe this guy pinched me?
Where?
Between the first and the second floors. Well, he won't do that again in a hurry. I slapped him so hard his ears lit up.
Serves him right, by Jove.
What important and vital work are you on today?
We have to check through our cupboards and files for things of historic interest.
Say, that's fascinating. Can I help like yesterday?
Oh, well, if it gives you pleasure. You don't mind if Luella helps again, do you, Tom?
Oh, not at all.
No.
Perhaps she could sort through the map cupboard while we finish off the chest.
Yes, it's a good idea, that. It's over there, Luella, dear.
Oh, gee, thanks.
Yeah.
Say, Say, there's a mountain of stuff in here.
Yeah, I hope we can find some suitable things. Sir Gregory seems very keen on this museum business.
Yes, well, keep looking, too. Keep looking. Yes. Hey, wait a minute. Didn't you say there was a message from Sir Gregory that he's coming in at 12?
Yeah. Oh, dear, that's now. And we've still got nothing to show him.
Yes, but not only that, but Luella's here.
Oh, no.
And you told her we run this department.
Well, you started that one.
Yes, but you brought up Sir Gregory. You told her he was our junior. And any moment now, he'll be in here bullying us and ordering us about. You know what he is.
Yes. I read it on a wall in the washroom. How embarrassing. Lucky Luella's in the map cupboard. Perhaps they won't meet.
Yes, well, quick. Move our things out of sight, too.
You're right.
Now then, you two.
Oh, too late.
I understand from the museum that they've not yet heard from you.
Well, now, we can explain that, Sir Gregory.
So can I, Lennox Brown, so can I. It's partly because you're never here till 11.
Ah.
Partly because you run this office like a circus. Oh. And mainly because you're a pair of idle, incompetent layabouts.
But apart from that, Sir Gregory, you're quite pleased with us?
Be quiet, Lamb. What's that on your desk, Lennox Brown? Looks like a woman's handbag.
Yes. But that is a woman's handbag, sir. Yes. I find it's much roomier than the briefcase. Much more room.
Good Lord, and there's a pink headscarf beside it.
Yes. Well, now that's Mr. Lamb's to go with his pink head. It's his new image, you see.
And there's a smell of perfume in here.
That could be my aftershave, Sir Gregory.
Aftershave? It smells like a Turkish bordello.
I wouldn't know, sir. I've never eaten one.
And why are you standing with your back to the map cupboard door?
Oh,
the catch isn't working, sir. Lamb has to stand there, you see.
Yes.
Or it swings open.
Oh, I see, yeah. Lamb. You've at last found a job to fit your intelligence. As a doorstop. Well, I think you're hiding something in there.
No,
out of my way, Lamb.
No, Sir Gregory, I...
No! What's this? A woman in the cupboard. I might have known.
Hey, you're the Randy bum who pinched me in the elevator just
now. Well, look here, my dear young lady. There's no need to be offended. A slip of the hand, I assure you.
Well, here's another slip of the hand from me.
Oh!
You ought to be ashamed of yourself. A man of your age trying to molest young girls. Now get out of here.
Oh, very well. Yeah, but it was only a bit of fun, you know. No.
Good Lord. That was Sir Gregory Pitkin, the permanent undersecretary.
Well, I do wish you'd keep your junior staff under better control.
Junior staff? What? Oh, yes, quite, yes. Yeah, well, I'll give Pitkin a good talking to later. Yes. Well, next week, you know. Maybe.
Thank you, Uncle Derek. Now, listen, I just found the most fantastic document in your cupboard.
Not Mr. Lamb's certificate for biggest marrow in show.
No, this is important. It's signed by your King George III. Look.
George III? Oh, it's rather faint, my dear. Would you read it out to me?
By this document, let it be known that His Royal Majesty has been graciously pleased to give to the settlers in the Americas and to their descendants all that piece and parcel of land known as Whitehall. Wishing them withal the best of British luck, signed this 4th day of May, 1790.
What's all that about?
Oh, don't you understand? It's an agreement signed by your King George III giving Whitehall to America.
Yes, well, I mean, that's very amusing, but George III's dead now. Oh, throw it away, will you?
No, Uncle Derek.
But he must be dead.
I mean, no, you can't throw it away.
What?
I must take this to the American Embassy right now.
The American Embassy? Why?
Because all this street belongs to us, to the United States. It says so right here.
Here is the news read by John Curl. Following confirmation of the report that Whitehall is officially American territory, the United States government has announced its plans for this famous London street. The buildings are to be leased to big American firms operating in Europe, among them the Texas Hamburger Corporation, Cola Oil, Dakota Paint, and the giant film company Milwaukee Talkies. A spokesman said the Dakota Paint Company would need several buildings, and several buildings needed Dakota Paint. British civil servants are already moving out of their traditional offices to continue their work in tents and marquees in St. James's Park. Displaced ministers are conducting their business in a large brick building in Hyde Park. One described it as a great convenience. The two British civil servants involved in the discovery of the George III document have been asked to stay on in their Whitehall office to assist the American arrivals.
How do you like the new setup, eh?
Rather exciting, isn't it? I had to get off my bike at the top of Whitehall for passport control and customs.
Well, these Americans really mean business, don't they?
They certainly do. Yeah. The customs man confiscated my sausage sandwiches. A hazard to health, he said.
Oh, well, never mind. We get a free lunch in the restaurant. Yes, these American firms really pamper their people, don't they? Hmm? You've seen the iced water in the hall?
Yes, and life's so much easier with these Yankee chaps. They're all so gentle and courteous. Hmm. Such a change from Sir Gregory Pitkin.
Good morning, gentlemen, good morning. What, not started work yet?
Oh, good morning.
Hi there.
I'm here to get things moving. Greg Slatkin's the name, Greg Slatkin the third.
How do you do? I'm Richard Lamb, Jr., the first.
Lovely day for the time of the year.
Okay, okay, cut the cackle. Now, I want some changes around here. You can take down that picture for a start.
Hippie, but that's a photograph of our Prime Minister. Don't you recognize the dazzling smile?
Take it down and put up this picture instead.
Oh, the great American grizzly bear, unless I'm much mistaken.
You are. That's a photo of my wife. Mrs. Slatkin.
It's really rather charming, that.
Yeah, and another thing. Now you're working for an American company, you work American hours.
American hours?
Correct. From now on, you two will start work in this office at 7 o'clock.
7 o'clock, eh? That will be nice. We'll have the whole day free.
7 o'clock in the morning. Oh. You'll break for a working lunch from 1 till 5 after 1. And you may go home at 9 in the evening. Unless I decide you'll work late. Get it?
Got it.
Good.
Oh, dear. Does that chap remind you of anyone? I can't take much more of this one.
Oh, nor me too. This past week's been the worst in my life.
We just don't seem to be able to please Mr. Slatkin. He told me yesterday to upgrade my throughput ratio and boost my collateral turnover.
What does that mean?
2 minutes less for lunch.
Yes, if only Luella hadn't found that document. Yeah, where is it, by the way? Where is it?
Mr. Slatkin brought it in yesterday. He told me to have it framed.
Pass it over, would you, too?
What for?
Well, I'd like to study it a little more closely. Hmm. I have a very good legal brain. There may be some holes in it.
There you are.
Thank you.
I say, there's something written on the back.
By George, so there is. I hadn't noticed that before.
What does it say?
Wait a minute now. It says, P.S. His Majesty King George III wishes to make it clear that the Whitehall referred to in this document is the town of Whitehall, Alabama. Thank you.
Whitehall, Alabama? So he didn't give away our Whitehall after all?
No, you see what this means, too. Things can go back to normal. Come on, there's a lot to be done. Come on.
Here is the news read by John Curl. Following the discovery by a vigilant ministry investigator that Whitehall, London is not United States territory after all, American firms are vacating their premises there. But it's understood that the Texas Hamburger Corporation, anxious to remain in the area, are negotiating a lease of Buckingham Palace. This will provide them with central offices and the royal family with additional income. British civil servants will be returning to their Whitehall offices as soon as the iced water dispensers have been replaced with hot tea machines.
Oh, it's lovely to be working for the dear old ministry again.
Oh, my word, it certainly is, too. Do you know, I'd even be pleased to see Sir Gregory pop in.
Oh, I want a word with you two.
Well, fairly pleased.
Morning, Sir Gregory.
I'm very puzzled about that clause you found on the back of the old agreement. I could have sworn there was nothing there when I examined it.
You're quite right, Sir Gregory. There wasn't a clause on the back when you first saw it.
What? Two, what are you talking about?
I better confess, I wrote it in the other day.
You forged that clause on the document?
It didn't really seem wrong. Everyone was having to work so hard. The Americans didn't really want to be here anyway, and I'm sorry, Sir Gregory.
Sorry? Well done. Well done, my boy.
What?
Two, you've never done anything so clever in your life. You've had a sudden rush of brains to the head.
Yes, you're quite right. The American government was finding the whole thing embarrassing. They're quite happy with the outcome.
Then you're not angry.
My boy, I never thought you had it in you. It seems I must eat my words. Take a week's leave. Well, 3 days. And that Whitehall document, where is it now? We wouldn't want anyone examining it too closely, what?
Don't worry, Sir Gregory. They'd need an X-ray to do that.
An X-ray?
I thought I'd better eat my words, too.
Good Lord. You mean you ate the document?
Torn up with milk and sugar. Tasted like parchment cornflakes.
Muddling through as the men from the Ministry were Richard Murdoch and Derek Giler. Also featured were Norma Ronald, Ronald Baddeley and John Graham. The program was written by Edward Taylor and John Graham and produced by Edward Taylor.
Well, next week, controversy when Lamb's accused of pinching the takings from the public loos and having an affair with Mildred. It's all going off at the same time.
A choral history of Britain. Roderick Williams explores the nation's long-standing tradition of singing together.
We're backstage at the head of a rehearsal of Mahler's Second Symphony, which is going to be in concert this evening. I'm going to be joining the choir of the Royal Academy of Music, and I will be one of the crowd. And actually, this is something I've been looking forward to for some considerable time. I've been wanting to reconnect to something that I guess I've been missing for years now with my solo singing, and that is the feeling of singing amongst large numbers of people, where one's voice, one's sense of identity almost is lost amongst a huge crowd. I'm not quite sure what that's going to feel like, actually, because I've been trained so much as a solo singer, and my experience in the last 20 years, 30 years, has been as a solo instrument, taking responsibility for myself and my voice and how I interpret music. And now I have to give all of that over to the conductor, and also to feel the mood around me on all sides so that I can blend into one massive creature, as it were. And I'm thrilled to see what that's going to be like.
I think the idea of where singing comes from is a really important one. What I know is that singing does, in a sense, come very naturally to people.
Psychologist and public health expert Stephen Clift of Canterbury Christchurch University has a particular angle on the power of singing. One explanation of why singing together is so important to all of us is that it speaks to a very basic part of our human nature.
It's clearly not something that was invented last week. We know historically that however far you look back, you'll find evidence of music making and you'll find evidence of singing. If we look around the world, there's music in every known culture. Even 40,000 years ago, people were making music. The oldest known musical instrument is a fragment of a bone flute. And so it's very plausible that our capacity to sing today has very ancient roots.
When I came off stage after that performance, I was blown away by the experience.
What an amazing thrill that was. My goodness. I started crying at the start of the fourth movement and didn't really recover. But I did manage to sing something, and I think I got most of the words right. And I just need to do it again now. And it reminded me that all the training that I've done as a singer,
all the technique, all the singing lessons I've had, once the blood's really flowing and people are really going for it, that all goes out the window. You know, I'm aware that I've got rehearsals tomorrow. I need to be in good fettle for that. But I was just singing at the at full tilt. Yeah, very bad practice.
A Choral History of Britain